Hey, everybody, and you're here. I'm not going to welcome you this time because you're here. You made it.
You're here.
You're here amongst friends in the Friday's Golf Podcast. I'm Randy.
And of course, so glad to see you guys back.
Joined by Quentin.
Hey, everybody.
Man, I feel like we were on a roll there. We were like four episodes in a row, just bam, bam, bam each week. And then,
yeah.
And then that
kind of had to know it was going to go off the rails, right?
And then the naps hit me. I'm like, you know what sounds good right now? A nap.
Yeah. you know what we sound like is like people who couldn't run their own business.
That, like, you know,
in yes. any way.
Yeah. 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 These so. We're yeah. That's like, you know, when the owner goes away and there's like those two teenage, like yeah. he's like flip a coin of which one you're gonna put in charge. That's who we are for yeah. FedEx. So yeah. We don't have a manager though. So
and instead, they're just going to close down the shop and they're like, it's not worth it. No, we're just going to close it down.
Irresponsible teenagers that just steal smokes from the vending machines.
What is it, 1960?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they don't really sell cigarettes in vending machines anymore.
They sure don't.
Well, I don't even know if there's car washes anymore, so I don't know what's going on. I'm out of touch with reality. And speaking of who is out of touch with reality and also love naps. Old people
love maps.
Is that what you said? Yeah, maps.
Oh, naps.
Yeah, because I
naps. Okay, all right.
Well, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Hey, actually, I probably love maps as well.
Honestly,
it's like these stupid phones, and like that was like one of those rare skill sets that you could have that is completely worthless now, which is folding a map correctly.
No, oh,
you know,
so much,
and a lot of younger kids, I mean, I can't imagine any listen to this podcast, but probably you know, not. Folding a map correctly, that was a big thing back in the day. That was part of becoming the navigator in the car. It's like, you know, if your parents trusted you with the map, like, hey, you're gonna guide
it's
us there,
it's
but
huge deal.
You gotta know how to fold the thing, because I tell you what, if it goes back up front looking like a wadded up newspaper, they're not going to give that map back to you again.
No, you're never sitting in the front seat again for the rest of the trip, at least.
Well, so I couldn't sit in the front seat till I was about 16 because
until
airbags.
yeah. All right. No, we get it. We get it.
I'm just kidding. My first car didn't even have an airbag in it.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like being able to finally, when we got the big Atlas books that were like, you know, 100 pounds.
Oh yeah.
And you had to then like, my dad was like, I need to exit in 2 minutes. You got to tell me what exit number. And I'm like, the book's not even up here. And he's like, figure it out. I'm like, oh no.
You couldn't, okay. You couldn't even practically store that Atlas in your car because of the sheer size of it. It's like, it wouldn't even fit in the glove compartment. So whoever designed the Atlas, it's like, you know, people are going to be using this in their cars, but yet you 100%. Don't. Make it a size where it would fit, and the only place it will go is in that little pocket that has absolutely no purpose, that sits right behind the driver's seat.
Correct. Yep,
because
exactly where
you can
it goes.
Put
and that's
nothing
the only
else
thing
in
that,
that pocket.
Pocket's for
no you can't yeah. You can't put like a pair of shoes in there, because whoever's sitting up front's like, oh, it's in my back, I can feel that. So it's like just the Atlas. And now that there are no Atli, is that the plural of Atlas?
Absolutely, yeah.
So
two smart teenagers here.
Since there are no more Atli, what goes in that pocket?
It sounds so wrong. There's no way. What,
but I mean, you're not putting anything else in there besides trash. That's all. That's a trash pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they even put that pocket in cars anymore? That just goes to show you, because I have not purchased a new automobile. At 2006 Honda Accord, just so everyone else knows.
Running strong.
I don't know if that pocket even exists in newer cars. Hopefully, they got rid of it.
I have a 2016 and it absolutely has that pocket.
Oh, bragging.
But it's only behind the passenger seat, not the driver.
Showing me up on my podcast.
So it's 2016. It's no big deal.
But anyway, we're getting away from the topic, which was old people. And actually, I should take that back. It's not old people. It's growing older. And I haven't told you what today's theme was. I just came up with it off the top of my head waiting to have this conversation. And the reason is my birthday is next month, and I can feel my body starting to betray me. Yeah. Like everyone always, you know, And I know a lot of people out there are like, oh, how old can you be? You don't even know. It's like, listen, I get it. I know that I'm not on your level, and I'm not trying to downplay the severity of pain that you feel just from being conscious every day. Okay. Yeah. I'm just telling you that I'm starting to recognize it, and it's not fun. It's not a great thing because they say, you know, I will say it started, I noticed it, not like it was a big deal, but I noticed it when I was 30. I noticed that things were a little different. And it was just like that, like, kind of like you hear something. It's like, did I hear something? Okay, I didn't hear anything. But it's like that, but with pain with your body. Yeah. Like your body tells you something. It's like, wait, did, okay, no? Okay, yeah. No, never mind. Must have been you know, the wind or something. But then you find out it's not the wind. And it's old age creeping up on you, because I will be 36 next month. I'm on the downside of 30 now, which is a crazy thing to say and even to think. But because when you live in your teenage years, you're not even a human being. When you're in your 20s, you're invincible. You nothing can stop you. Nothing. It's like you're this like supernatural form of a human in your 20s. Yeah. You can do anything. It doesn't even matter. It's like, I don't even have to stretch before I play basketball. Like, I can just go out there and I'm ready to go. You can eat anything, you can drink anything, and then the next morning you wake up and you're like, whoa, and then you're right back at it again.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I'm on the tail end of 20s as well, so I'm starting to become conscious of that going away.
Yeah.
Because I agree 100%. During my 20s, I was like, I don't care.
Hangovers last a little bit longer.
Yep.
Yep. You feel them for just a little, you know, it's like now it's like noon comes and you're like, wow, am I still feeling awful? And it's like, and then it just, I'm telling you, soon it's just going to be the whole day. You won't be able to function the whole next day properly.
Like I stayed up like kind of late the other day. And like, I used to be able to do that every once in a while. And then at like 3 PM, I was like, I never want to do that again. What was I thinking? I can't do that anymore. Like, I've got things, responsibilities that I have to take care of. And I'm like, and then that's when it all, like, my brain just spiraled into like, what do you mean? Like, come on, you're better than that. You can stay up late. And it's just like my inner brain is battling. My 30-year-old brain is battling with my 20-year-old brain. It's like, well, it's bad.
I remember I was, when I was young, I was like very supple and I was very like,
I don't like that word at all. I hate that you use that.
it can bend a lot, but it's one of those things where your joints, when you're, you know, sub teenage years, they're like not even like real people joints. They're like made of rubber and you can bend and you can like I remember I would jump out of trees from obnoxious heights, like, you know, like I would jump out of a tree from like 6-8 feet up where my feet are 6 or 8 feet up and just jump out and you hit and you roll and my mom would be like, oh, like, don't do that. That just hurts me looking at it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't even feel anything. And then now, like the other day I was talking with my brother about this and he was talking about how he was on the bumper of a truck and he jumped off the bumper of a truck and he hit the ground and he just felt like almost like an electric shock go up through his body. And it's like, dude, I can totally relate because this is one of the scariest moments in my recent life, you know, where it was like that moment of realization of where I am in life. And I was roller skating with my daughter last year and this is a dad. Okay. This is a dad's job. You go out there, your little girl wants to go roller skating. You go roller skating. Now I will say you can't feel cool on roller skates. You cannot, you can, what you're going to do
very hard.
Yes. It's like what you're doing is like you're going out there and you're doing the chicken dance. And it's like, you know, it doesn't look cool, but you're doing it just to be a part of something. You're like, oh, this is, we're having a good time. But no one, and that's the worst part is when people try to look cool on roller skates. It's like, where are your parents? Where are your parents at? Because they,
that's
obviously,
so funny. I literally saw someone in our like downtown. I just literally saw someone doing it in our downtown, was roller skating, and he was like clearly doing it as an exercise, which is great, but also like was so intense I was like,
I don't mind roller skating. If you want to roller skate your heart out, but just don't act like it's the coolest thing ever. Like, you're roller skating, have a good time with it. It's like, that's great, you know, but it's not skateboarding. Okay. It's never going to be skateboarding. And I'm sorry that it never became skateboarding, but it's not. So anyway, I'm getting off topic. I was skating with my daughter and I'm going around and I'm decent on, like, I have coordination. I can skate, I can ice skate, I can rollerblade, I can do all that stuff. We've talked
about that before.
Yes.
And you have coordination and I have none of it.
Yes. So I'm skating around, which is fine. And we're doing a good job. And my daughter, I'm kind of like helicoptering over because it's her first time out. And, you know, for some reason, this is like that only activity that never advanced past the 1980s as far as like safety protocols. So it's like,
100%. What do you mean by helicoptering over? That, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's a parenting term where you kind of like are hovering over your child, kind of in preparation for them to fall.
Yeah.
And you're going to
catch
them. I
thought you meant you were doing some kind of like jumping over her, some kind of trick.
I'm sitting here telling you how roller skating is not cool. And I'm like, yeah, I'm totally doing the helicopter right behind you. No big deal. No, like, I'm just preventively hovering over her, anticipating a fall. Yeah. And in doing so, like, because like I said, it's one of those activities that has not advanced in safety protocols for some reason out of everything else. It's like everything else, you put elbow pads on, you put knee pads on, you put a helmet on. It's like you go outside nowadays and it's like, hey, did your kid wear a helmet when he went out? And it's like, what? Yeah. He just went outside. But no. There are no safety protocols. So I'm, you know, and everyone just accepts it. It's like you're standing on wheels and those wheels will go out from underneath you for no reason at all. And you're going to fall and possibly crack your head open, but we don't care. So I'm following her around and she kind of does the thing where it's like almost like the stereotypical like skate shuffle where you start to like your feet start to shuffle underneath you. And I know she's going down to her butt. So I catch her under her armpits. Kind of straighten her back up. And then I go to like kind of give her a shove to kind of equal her back out. And she takes off. Well, then my skates go out from under me. And I'm not a tall person. Let's say 5 foot. You know what? With skates on, I might be 5'9" with skates on. Who knows? But okay. So my butt is maybe 3 feet off the ground. I fall from my butt height off the ground, like let's say 3 feet, just straight down onto my bottom. Which is not far. It's not even close to being far. I hit the ground and it felt like my organs detached from the inside of my body. I felt like my lungs and my heart and my stomach all hit my intestines. Like it just like cushioned blowed onto my intestines. Like, and I made a noise, which is not great in public, especially around kids. But when you're like, and then enough to where like a couple parents like swoop in. And they were doing the helicopter around me, like, hey, you all right, dude? And I'm like,
hey, you all right, little boy?
I'm like, oh, I know how to do that. No, but it hurt to the point where I had that split second of terror of like, I might have to go to the hospital. But then, like, you know, I started breathing normal again. And I came out of the tunnel of blackness that started to, you know, surround my eyes. But it was terrifying because it's like, I just fell onto my bottom and I thought I was going to die. And it's horrible. And I can't tell you how defeating that is to go roller skating. Yeah. And you're just like, I can't do it anymore. Like I've lost it.
Yeah.
I can't go out and just do the random young stupid things. Like I have to actually think of consequences now. Like, okay, if I fall, is my heart going to detach from the lining of my body and it's going to land in my intestines again. Cause that was a horrible feeling. And I would say it started right after I turned 30, I had this brilliant idea for whatever reason, because I can't in the moment right now, remember why, but I had some friends that talked me into picking up playing softball, because I used to be a big baseball player back in the day and I had not touched a baseball bat in almost 18 years. And I was like, let me go get some cleats. Still got my glove. Let's go out and let's play some softball. So I go out there and what the problem is that if you haven't done anything since you were a child, you go out there with the intensity that you used to do it as a child.
Always. And yeah.
So my friends noticed this right away. They're seasoned vets. They're a couple years older than me. And they go, Randy, it's a beer league. No one's out here to do anything but just drink and have some fun, socialize, play some softball. It's not just don't kill yourself. And I'm like, okay. But then like you get the bat.
Don't be a crazy
Yeah,
person.
You get the bat in your hand and you know, you rip that double, you know, up the center. And then you look to turn three and you're like, oh, I got the speed still. And I take off and I run. This is where it started. After that first game I played, I came home and my knees felt like there was just bone touching bone. And I realized shortly after that was the first time I had worn cleats in almost 16 years. So my body was not used to starting and stopping that quickly.
Yeah, it's a completely different feeling.
No, and it's such a weird thing to think. It's like you haven't even sprinted in like over a decade, and now you're just gonna go out there like and just you think you're gonna still have that pep in your step. It's like, and I'm not out of shape. I'm not like a person that doesn't take care of their body. I jog and stuff like that, but I don't like put the wear and tear that you do when you play like a competitive sport aggressively. I mean, 100%. I've played golf for the past like 20 years, so it's like all that has withered away. So second time out, my friends noticed the first game, and they're like, Randy, you're a little aggressive. And they're like, and I slid one time and they're like, listen, don't ever slide. It's the stupidest. Like they're like, if it's going to be close, they're like, if it's going to be close, just stop running and just go back to the bench and have a beer. So I do not heed their advice. And I'm rounding second base, going into third, and a throw's coming from left field towards third base. And it's going to be close, but the ball comes in a little low and it skips off the dirt and it's coming right at my head. So I kind of roll to the left as opposed to kind of sliding normally. I kind of roll and I slide on my side. My elbow goes directly into the dirt and my shoulder falls out of the socket. And I stand up and this is the first time in my life that I have ever had any kind of injury like this. I never broke a bone. I've never done anything crazy. You know, I've like twisted an ankle, but that's about it. But my shoulder comes out of the socket and I'm not joking, like my fingers are below where my knee is, like, and I'm standing upright and I'm like this is not good. Like when my friend finds me, thank goodness, knows what he's doing, helps me put my shoulder back in place. Which it it's a weird feeling, it like suction cups back in there. It felt okay. They let me play catcher the rest of the game, and it was my left shoulder, so I could still throw. And I played all right, and I actually, I think I got on base two more times that game, but learned my lesson very quickly that it's like, absolutely, you're too old for this, dude. You can't just jump back into it. So one more thing real quickly before we tie it into golf, like we famously do on this channel.
Always.
I had a brilliant idea to get my girls a trampoline for Christmas.
Oh no. Oh no.
Okay. I'm just going to make this quick because you already know where it's going.
Absolute death machines. Yes.
I get it all wrapped under the tree. They open it up Christmas morning. They're all excited.
Wrapped.
Oh yeah. I went all out. It was the craziest looking Christmas present you've ever seen by a tree.
How big is the box? The box has to be huge, right?
It was as tall as the tree was. It was awesome.
Okay.
But I wrap it up. I set it beside the tree. They open it up and we've been getting uncharacteristically warm weather for the winter months around here, but not like warm, but like warm enough where it's not freezing out. And there was no snow. So I see my 7-year-old, her eyes are glowing. So I go out and I assemble it, put it together. She helps me the whole time. It takes us like an hour to set it up. And it's got like the safety nets around it. So I'm like, oh, we're good. I get on the trampoline with her and we're just kind of hopping around. And I'm like showing her the ropes. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is how you do this. And I'm like, this is how you, you know, kind of bounce yourself around. She's never been on a trampoline before. So I kind of set her off to the side. I'm like, check this out. So bam, I bust out a little bit of backflip for her. And she's like,
of course.
She's blown. Like, my daughter is the age now where she still thinks I'm cool. So I'm just like, just pathetically
living it up.
Yeah. I'm pathetically trying to impress her all the time just to make her more, you know, like I'm more her hero. But I bust out this backflip. She thinks it's the coolest thing ever. I do a front flip. She's like, you're the man. And then I'm like, okay, well, you know, let me show you some stuff. just so you can jump safely. I'm like,
now it's going to your head.
I'm like, so I have her in the middle and I'm showing her. I'm like, here, this is how you land on your butt. Land on your butt. Okay. I'm like, all right. And this is how you land on your front. So I jump and I go to land on my stomach and I have my hands like spread out like I'm doing the letter T. And my chest hits first. Well, the funny thing about trampolines is they flex. So my arms go behind me, shoulder pops out of the socket. And I stand up. And of course, my left hand is just dragging on the trampoline as I'm standing upright. And she's like, you know, does that little stutter like, Dad? Like, I'm like, hey, you just keep on jumping. I'm going to go get your mom. And like, I go inside and she sees me, my wife, and she's just like, what did you do? And I'm like,
you idiot.
And of course, she is so like apprehensive when it comes to like injuries. Like, she doesn't do good around like blood and stuff. So, but I'm like, you got to pull on my shoulder. And she's like, no,
never.
And I'm just having this horrible interaction with her where I'm having to talk her through how to put my shoulder back in place. And, you know, I went back out there and I jumped with my daughter because I'm a big advocate of like, hey, you know, dust yourself off, get back up again. But I'm not going to lie to you. I jumped real conservatively. I don't know if my feet ever left that trampoline again.
That's a little different.
Every time I went, like I bounced, like it just felt like my arm was tearing away from its shoulder, my shoulder. But it's all a part of, I think, the allure of golf, because everything I've just described to you, you don't have that to that extent with golf. Now, I know you lose flexibility and I know you get sore, but the fact of the matter is, it's like, I've seen people with like hip surgeries that like they can barely walk around and they play golf still. So it's like, I mean, that's what's so guys appealing out there that about it.
Have had two replaced knees and a hip, and like, they're more metal than they are bone. And it's like, they're fine. They're out there golfing.
And that's why
I drive 200 yards.
I optimistically look forward to growing old with the game because, you know, you always have those ex-football players, those ex-baseball players, those ex-hockey players, those ex-soccer players. They're all like, they get to that age where they can't do it anymore as far as at the level they could. And then they all seemingly pick up golf. And I'm like, dude, I'm already there. I already know how to golf. So it's going to be a breeze for me down the road. You know, I already have some of that limberness, flexibility, muscle memory built in, and I can just, you know, maybe do some maintenance work, keep that, you know, mindful as I get older, like, you know, take a little bit of fish oil and lube those joints up and we'll be good to go. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, truly. Yeah. I think it's awesome that that's always been a huge appeal.
I mean, but what else? I mean, what else is your option? Like shuffleboard? I mean,
tennis. But the,
no, that's at that horrible point, you get on your joints, though.
100%. You get to the point where it's like you kind of have to jog a little bit in tennis, and eventually you're just like, yeah, you can't do it. Now you got to go golf. Like,
well, I was trying to think of another sport, because even like bowling, I guess you could, but
I see some pretty old guys bowling every once in a while. So I mean,
but I feel like bowling, you're not really getting out. You're sitting in a smoke dungeon.
Yeah, and just, with your third pitcher of beer.
And chances are, if you're retiring bowling, you probably didn't live the healthiest lifestyle. No offense to bowlers. I mean, but they love to party, let's face it. I've seen Kingpin. 100%. Okay, I've seen how it goes.
But I mean, honestly, like, that's... I'm definitely not to that point where I've never really had too many major injuries, like... And honestly, most of my major injuries were when I was younger because I was stupid. And I've not had any injuries, you know, knock on wood, recently. And but the crazy thing is, I did go to, so speaking of being indestructible in your 20s, like when I moved to the new town that I'm in now, which was 6 to 8 years ago sometime, I just never found a doctor. I didn't, that was not a thing that I did.
Such a 20-year-old thing to do. You just don't
like
know.
It never actually even, and I'm being very truthful, never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
As something I needed to do. Found where I was banking, found where I was working, found the grocery store. That's it. That's all I needed. So and I swear to you, just this last week, for the first time since I've been here in this town.
That's like years.
6 to 8 years. That would be roughly about that much. Yeah. I will say the only time I did go one time, and it was because I had poison ivy so bad all over my body to the point where I was like, if I don't get something, I'm going to freak out. So they gave me I went to the doctor and they gave me a steroid cream. That was it. And then that the last time, and that was a little emergency room kind of place, like one of the ones
like a ready med. You didn't go to actual. So you really don't have a doctor, a physician you regularly see for checkups.
I do now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I do now.
Yeah.
So 3 days ago.
And that was one of the most eye raising appointments I ever had was when I went in and I was just like, yeah, I wake up and I got pain right here in my back. And he's like,
yeah,
he was just like, yeah, that's yeah. Like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know if
me too, you... man.
He's like, I don't know if you think you're Benjamin Button, but you're not.
Yeah.
And you're aging just like everybody else. And, but playing golf, it doesn't, you don't necessarily see that deterioration as quickly as you age, because every other sport, as you age, the return on investment every single year, it depletes substantially. You know, you pick up basketball. What you did when you were 45, there's a big difference at 46, and even a bigger one at 47. Absolutely. It's like, as I watched it with my dad. My dad was crazy athletic, and he played softball very competitively in, through his mid-30s, and played pickup basketball until he was about in his mid-50s. And I saw it. It was hard for him, but, just that competitiveness. But eventually, it was like, how many times – do you have to come home and take an ice bath before you're just listen,
it's not worth it.
Doing hook shots on these 15-year-olds is not worth it. You're not.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with my dad. He played until he was almost played pickup basketball till he was almost 50. And I remember him saying yes, I'm in pain and stuff like that, but I'm truly just not as competitive as these other guys anymore. And I can't, he couldn't cope with that. He was like, I can't stand that. I can't be not as good as them. And he goes, I've come to the realization it's not because I'm becoming worse. It's just I'm getting older. It's just natural. That's just what happens.
You don't see that.
You don't see that with golf.
In golf as much. No. Because I played with guys when they were in their 40s. And I played with guys when they were in their 60s now. You know, I've been playing the game long enough. And they're maybe even a little better.
Because they
might lose a little bit of distance, but really with what is available now, technology wise, especially when you look at the guys that have been playing golf for 50 years, there is a huge difference. I mean, I think Greg Norman was probably the first guy that made it very clearly obvious that technology and the ball and everything like that was dramatically different, because that guy was hitting 300-yard drives back in the day with a persimmon wood head. And here he is, 70 years old or 65. I don't know how old he is, but he's hitting the ball 300 yards still. I don't know if he is now, but a couple years ago, he was cranking it still.
He was absolutely.
And that just goes to show you that you don't deteriorate that much. It's not it's if you take a 75-year-old basketball player and you put him 30 feet away from the hoop, I mean, he's not going to hit a jumper. He probably can't get it there.
No.
I mean, if he can, stuff's going to pop. You're going to hear noises.
You're going to hear some rough stuff, like the ambulance coming in.
When you have Bernhard Langer in the Masters just last year, it was last year. And you have him competing, not only making the cut, being up towards the top of the leaderboard, that just goes to show that there's longevity in this game. And I don't think I'm saying anything that everyone doesn't already know, but you can play this game almost your entire life. It's one of the few that you can really be competitive for a very long time. Okay, everybody, this is the part of the podcast where I explain to you that during the second portion of the podcast, I actually lost the audio file. Don't know where it went. Audio file heaven, probably. But it's kind of an abrupt ending. We were going to go back and kind of re-record the whole experience, but rather than try to recapture that incoherent kind of conversation that we genuinely have, Quentin and I decided, let's just make this a shorter episode. Let's just make it, it is what it is. And maybe going forward, kind of revisit this 30-minute podcast time frame, because one, that's going to allow us to record more episodes when we sit down, and also kind of bank some so we can release them more consistently. But, you know, we'll try it out. You're not going to say that we get into a conversation about something that has nothing to do with golf and we talk for an hour straight. So we're going to leave the door of possibilities open. But thank you for listening and being a part of this. It's steadily growing, which is insane to me, because I'm talking to you through a pop filter that's made out of pantyhose. So it doesn't feel professional, but man, you all sure make it feel worthwhile. So thank you, as always, for listening. I would say, you know, tell Quentin this, you know, that you appreciate him. Let him know on social media that he's the driving force behind Friday's Golf, because, you know, I don't give him any positive reinforcement. He needs that, as we all do. He's not here right now, so if he was, I feel like he would say, what would he say? He would say, Frandy's awesome. Thanks, Quentin. All right, see you guys later. Once again, I apologize for the shortened episode, but hey, I feel like 30 minutes is better than no minutes. We'll see you next time.